This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening. And welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight we have a topic that, you know, some people don't like to discuss it or whatever, but we're talking tonight about hospice. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we need it. So we're going to have a guest tonight, Mr. Coleman. He's going to be our guest, and he's going to tell us all about hospice. But first, what we're going to do is I'm going to take a break right now, and I'm going to give him more time to say what he needs to say and whatever. So, Hang on to your hats, because we're going to have a great show tonight.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
So, hi, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show, and tonight we're talking to Mr. Coleman, and he's going to inform us about hospice. Now, if you're not sure whether you or your loved one might be eligible to receive hospice care, you have to ask some questions. If your loved one has been hospitalized or gone to ER several times in the past 6 months, if they've started taking medication to lessen physical pain, if they've started spending most of the day in a chair or bed, fallen several times over the past 6 months, started feeling weaker or more tired, noticed the shortness of breath even while resting. Hospice provides specially trained professionals and volunteers such as physicians, registered certified home health professionals, social work professionals, chaplain and bereavement counselors. They provide pain and symptom management, medication management, nurse on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, regular registered nurse visits, emotional and spiritual support, home medical equipment coordination, bereavement care for the patient's family for up to 13 months, arrangements for medical supplies, medications, and equipment needed in the home. These are some of the things that we need to know about whenever it's time for hospice. So without further ado, we're going to introduce Mr. Coleman. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you this afternoon, Jenny White?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir. And I'm so glad you agreed to be my guest tonight to tell us a little bit about hospice. Now, I know you know a lot, though, but I did read some of the things. So what did you think about some of the things that I read? Was that true statements?
Yes, that was very accurate. I mean, you made my conversation a lot easier. You know, you explained what hospice is. Hospice is for anyone that's been diagnosed with a life-limiting illness with 6 months or less to live. If they've been diagnosed with that, then they would qualify for hospice. So they could possibly have cancer, heart disease, stroke, end-stage Alzheimer's, COPD, dementia. Those are some of the main diseases that we see on hospice. Most insurances pay for hospice, and so there's no copays or deductibles with it. And also with that benefit, it will pay for any medications associated with the hospice diagnosis. So
they pay off all of the cost
of
the hospice? They pay all of it?
Yeah, there's no out-of-pocket expenses, and no one receives a bill from hospice. I don't know if anyone who has. And I've been doing hospice since 2005, and
wow.
So when I got into the business in 2005, I was working with Hospice of Michigan, which was the largest hospice in the state of Michigan, and so working with them showed me the benefit of the service, the philosophy of the care, and that anyone who happens to be eligible should be able to receive that benefit. It's also cultural because different cultures look at receiving hospice in different ways, and so you know, a lot of people are hesitant to try the service just based on wanting to continue to try aggressive treatments in order to survive. And when you sign on hospice, you can no longer take curative measures or take curative medicines that would be considered trying to help heal you. So
okay, can you explain what a curative medicine is?
Well, I'll say with a cancer diagnosis, you would no longer be able to do chemotherapy or radiation because those are two diagnosis that those are two things that are normally done to try to kill the cancer and give the person a longer life expectancy. Now, it can be done, in quotes, if it's palliative chemotherapy or palliative radiation, which means the person is in so much pain that this is the only way to alleviate the pain is by giving them these treatments. But it would only be you know, approved for 2 or 3 treatments. It wouldn't be a regular regimen to try to kill the cancer to cure you.
Same thing with dialysis.
If you had kidney disease, you wouldn't be able to continue dialysis. If you came on with a kidney disease diagnosis. Now, if you came on with heart failure diagnosis, but you still have kidney failure, then you would still be able to do dialysis. Your insurance will pay for the dialysis because it's not your hospice diagnosis. If the kidney failure was your hospice diagnosis, you would no longer be able to do dialysis.
Oh,
but there's,
that's
but
interesting.
In quotes, you know, if you were in so much excruciating pain, you could get palliative dialysis where you would be approved for a couple treatments of dialysis to alleviate your pain, but you wouldn't be able to continue the 2 or 3 days a week to sustain your life.
Okay, well, let me see if I understand this. If you go into hospice with a disease like heart failure, but you have if you have a bad kidney as well, is okay, you go in with a heart exam and
diagnosis,
all of that. Yeah, but if you go in with, can you do more than one? Maybe that's what I should ask. Can you go into hospice with more than one illness? Or do you just have to have one?
There'll be only one diagnosis, but there could be some several comorbidities. You could have heart disease and several other things that are bothering you. You could have cancer and everything else, which is a comorbidity of that illness. But there would only be one diagnosis that you would be signed onto hospice under.
So if you go under heart disease, but I have kidney disease, so I can still take my dialysis, right?
Yes.
Oh.
But if you go on for kidney disease, you would no longer be able to do dialysis.
But I have a bad heart too, so I can't do dialysis. But can you continue to help me with my heart?
We got to pick one.
So then you only can have one diagnosis then?
To sign up on hospice. I mean, you could have several things wrong with you, but
right,
they only need one diagnosis to qualify you for hospice. Most people,
I see.
You know, that's like, you know, someone with dementia could have other ailments, but the dementia is prevalent, and that would be what the person would be signed up under. And you can only stay on hospice as long as the staff, the nurses, or the medical director can chart a decline. So, you know, if you're... You've lost 20 pounds in 2 weeks, and you're not eating, and there's a continual decline, you can stay on hospice. And some people have been on hospice for over a year. Some have been on 2 years. I was looking at someone who just recently passed away that was on for over 600 days.
Okay. That's over a couple of years.
Yeah, people can get better and graduate off of hospice. That means, you know, they either get stable or, you know, because of all the attention and the love and care that they've been receiving, they've gotten better for a period of time. And so at that time, they would have to come off of hospice. But if they were to decline again in the future, they would be eligible to get back on.
So in other words, the person that's taking care of your person, your professional, that's taking care of the patient, they have to give you a diagnosis every day about the patient's, how they're doing, how they're responding to whatever?
Well, the interdisciplinary team that's involved in the hospice care includes a medical director.
Okay.
It includes a registered nurse, a home health aide, a social worker, a chaplain, a bereavement counselor, a volunteer.
All of those things that I spoke of.
Yes.
Earlier. Okay.
So a person signing up on hospice could decline any of those services. They could say, you know, no, we don't need a home health aide coming to the house two or three times a week at this time. The person's still able to shower on their own and transfer from the bed to the chair on their own. So we don't need that assistance at this point. Maybe 3-4 months later, maybe sooner, maybe later, they could say, hey, you know, right now, you know, my husband is a two-person assist and needs some assistance, you know, needs some additional help. We'll take that aid now. Or we decline the social worker. You know, we don't need a social worker right now. And at some point, maybe they say, hey, well, you know, we could use some information on some additional resources. Can you have the social worker come out and see us? Same thing with chaplain. Chaplains are non-denominational, and some people, based on their religion, could choose or decline to have a chaplain come and speak with them. So they, so people that sign up on hospice have an option to use the services a la carte.
So each person that they choose to, you know, help them, does it have to be a consensus that, like, you know, you go to the home health aide and they said, yes, they're going down. And then you talk to the registered nurse and they say, yes, we're going down. And then you might see the physician say, well, no, because I checked them out and I think they don't need this. So does everyone have to be on the same page?
Well, everyone would go in and chart what they did accordingly. So,
okay.
So the home health aide wouldn't be making a determination on whether or not the person is appropriate or not because they're not qualified to do so. So that determination would pretty much come from the nurse's assessment of what she sees during her visits.
But everyone has to write something down, right, or no?
No, everybody charts on their visit because that's how you get paid. If you don't chart, then you weren't there. So order to get paid for
makes
your visit,
sense.
You have to chart and say what happened.
So you weren't there.
Home health aide could say, you know, the person fell out of bed today while I was trying to lift them, or they slipped in the shower, you know, but there have been no injuries.
Improvement.
No, okay. Yeah, no, you know, they're not hurt. No nursing visit is needed. We get a lot of calls like that where the patient can be staying at home or assisted livings, and we'll get a call overnight saying that they fell out of bed, but they don't appear to be injured and no nursing visit is needed. So they're the on-call service. Hospice is 24/7, 365 days. So hospice should be available at all times, even if you receive a call at 3 in the morning. There should be someone, in with the company that I work with, which is Kindred Hospice, the on-call staff begins at 5 p.m. and goes to 8 a.m. in the morning. And so any calls that may come in regarding a patient overnight is triaged in the call center, and at that point they'll make a determination on whether or not a visit needs to be had at 3 in the morning, or if there needs to be some medication given to the patient, or if it's no emergency and someone will just follow up in the morning.
Okay, so that's not a part of your position, is it, for you to be on call?
No, no. I do the business development portion of it. So the part that I do is I am a hospital liaison. So I'm in the hospitals. I talk with the case managers, the doctors, social workers, regarding patients that they have that may be in a condition where hospice may be appropriate for them, and they can make a referral at that point. Someone who's had multiple 30-day admissions. You know, Ms. Jones has been in the hospital 3 times in the past 30 days. Maybe someone who we need to look at for a hospice evaluation. Someone with skin breakdown, someone that has wounds, someone that's had significant weight loss in a short period of time, someone that's on oxygen, you know, that high levels of oxygen that may be hospice appropriate. So, so there are several different triggers to look at, and then some are based on different illnesses that you could say, hey, you know, just based on the fact that, you know, she's fallen 2 times this week, or she's not responding to rehab, you know, and or someone who has declined aggressive treatments. You know, they're just tired of poking and prodding. They don't want to go back to the hospital. They don't want to do aggressive treatments anymore. I don't want to do chemo anymore. I don't want to do radiation. You know, I'm tired of it. Someone that says, I don't want to do dialysis anymore. You know, those are people that are possibly hospice appropriate.
Oh, okay.
And hospice is just another way for palliative care, which is just pain management and making sure that a person is comfortable and not dealing with pain issues. So that's the hospice philosophy. So hospice, you know, some of the myths are, you know, that hospice doesn't feed you, it doesn't give you water, those type of things. That's not true. Or hospice kills you. You know, hospice doesn't accelerate the death process. There are people that get on hospice and die shortly thereafter, same day or within several days after. But I always say that those people were probably hospice appropriate 6 months to a year before they got on, and they just got on at the latter stages of their illness, and they were going to make their transition whether they're on hospice or not.
Now, I've heard you speak before, and I think I heard you say that African Americans kind of don't use their hospice as soon as they should. They wait a long time.
Yeah, African Americans, on average, normally wait a little later in the illness before you know, we'll sign up just based on several factors, one being sometimes people feel like they're giving up on their loved one.
Right.
Or the person feels like they're giving up and they don't want that either for themselves or for their kids. And so sometimes, you know, we're late to sign up on the service and therefore don't receive the full benefit of it because their loved one will possibly make a transition sooner.
had, you know, than had they gotten on earlier, they may have benefited more, as well as the family members.
I always thought early on that that's what happened when you went into hospice. It's like I assumed that you were going to die the next day or, you know, pretty soon thereafter. But I know personally, I had a friend of mine whose dad was on hospice, and he was on it for over a year. And that was fascinating to me. I didn't know you could stay on that long. You know.
Yeah,
but
you can remain on as long as there is a decline that the hospice is able to record. Because that's
But
the
I mean,
way
you know, okay, if you stay on for an entire year, that I mean that declining should be, I mean, you got 300 days, and if you're declining every day, I'm sorry.
Well, there's different levels of decline based on different
okay.
illnesses.
Okay,
you
I
know,
got you.
Every disease doesn't, some diseases will take you out quicker than others.
Right,
and so, you know, it'll
true.
Be a quick decline. If you got pancreatic cancer, you're not going to be around. You're not going to be around a year, in most instances. So, you know, but if you have dementia, you can live. You can live a long time with dementia.
Yeah, that's true.
Your memory could be gone, but your body could be. You could be. Your blood pressure could be better than somebody that doesn't have dementia.
That's true. Yeah.
So you know, all diseases. Aren't the same.
That's really
but
interesting.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. You go when a person.
Yeah, some questions are asked when a person is choosing a hospice provider, because not all hospice care is the same. There are some questions to help them choose the right provider for them and their family. And one of the questions would be, how long has the company been in business? You know,
okay.
they can ask that, and that will, you know, give them an idea of how long they've been around. And so
that's
that
something like when you go to get a replacement knee, you want to know how many knees this doctor has replaced before you go under his knife.
I think that'd be a good question to ask.
I think so, too. But I didn't know it would be the same with hospice. Now, how long has your company been in existence?
We've been around almost 20 years in the Detroit area, in southeast Michigan. Kindred was formerly Gentiva, which was formerly Odyssey Hospice. So there, it's undergone several buyouts and acquisitions. And as recently as last year, Humana purchased Kindred Hospice and Curo Hospice, which is owned Southern Care Hospice, and they merged to become the largest hospice in the nation. And so.
And you're affiliated with them, right?
Yeah, I work. That's who I work with.
All right.
And so largest hospice in the nation. And so with that comes some growing pains. There has been some. Transition as far as rolling over to different operating systems and, you know, taking on different programs and eliminating some other things. And so there's been some change. With growth comes change, but it's all been positive. And, you know, we work very hard to maintain our clinical care so that our patients and the people that use us and trust us haven't noticed any changes.
Okay, so it sounds really, really interesting. I'm learning a lot tonight. I thank you, Mr. Coleman, for being my guest. And I'd like to invite my listeners, if you have a comment or you would like to ask Mr. Coleman a question, why don't you just press that 1 on your keypad and you'll be streaming live with Mr. Coleman. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show.
Lions Clubs International is a service or membership organization of over 1.7 million members worldwide. It was founded in 1916 in Illinois. Much of the focus of the Lions Club's work as a service club organization is to raise money for worthy causes as first responders. The Lions Club motto is "We Serve." Local Lions Club programs include sight conservation, hearing and speech conservation, diabetes awareness, youth outreach, international relations, environmental issues, and many other programs. The Lions acronym also stands for Liberty, Intelligence, Our Nation's Safety. For more information, contact us at LionsClubs.org.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at aaomi.org.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight we're talking about hospice. We have a guest who is Mr. Coleman. He's very efficient, and he's telling us a lot about hospice because, you know, I didn't know that you had so many people, you know, that you could use, and you can pick and choose, which you say a la carte. So I didn't know that. I didn't know they were 24/7, but that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense if someone is in hospice. But they have to be maybe fallen several times, like in 6 months, So would that be considered something you would think about if someone has fallen fallen several times over 6 months? That's enough to put a person in hospice?
If they fall one time, you know, you can really take a look at them. They don't have to fall. If they fall several times, this is definitely a problem, and I'm sure they've injured themselves somewhere during that process. They've broken a hip, a leg, bust a head, okay. Got stitches or something. So you don't want to wait that long. You know, that's why the early indicators are really important. And so education about hospice is really the important thing. I'll give you a story. I had spoke, and this has been some years ago, at a Parkinson's group. They were having a meeting, and so there were some husbands and wives there, and one of the spouses was dealing with Parkinson's. And so, just basically giving them information about hospice and, you know, everything that hospice does. And so probably 5 years later, I was out somewhere, and a lady approached me and asked me if I did hospice, and I told her I did. She said, you know, you came and spoke to my group once regarding, you know, hospice, Parkinson group. So she reminded me, and I recall, you know, going to the meeting, and she said, you know, that information really helped me when I had to make a decision to put my husband on hospice. And so, you know, you can really help people with information and not know the residual effect, but it's really helpful, and it takes a lot of the stigmatism away from it. And it also helps the caregiver, because there are four levels of hospice. There's a routine level when the person is, you know, admitted and they're stable in their home, wherever their home may be, whether it's a skilled nursing facility, assisted living, group home, or just their regular home. There's continuous care, which is when a person has had an acute episode and requires more attention. We would increase our visits to continuous care just to monitor the person's health. And normally during continuous care, either the person makes their transition or they get better. If they get better, normally they go back to routine care. General inpatient care is normally when a person is admitted inside the hospital. They're, you know, a patient in the hospital, but they require hospice, or they go into the hospital on hospice. And so
I didn't know they could go to the hospital if they were on hospice.
Now,
I thought that was all cut out.
The thing about that is, if the hospice has a contract with the hospital, then they can remain on the hospice service. But the hospice would be responsible for all the treatments. That can be very expensive. It's not profitable for a hospice to do that. So in a lot of instances, if a person is admitted into a hospital, then they'll be discharged from hospice so that their insurance will kick in and they can receive whatever treatments are necessary. If they broke their arm, they were, you know, on hospice for heart disease, fell out of bed, broke their arm, had to be admitted into the hospital, they'll be discharged from hospice so that they can receive the surgery to repair the broken arm. And then once they return back home, they can be readmitted to hospice. So if they stayed on hospice, hospice would have to pay for the surgery to correct their arm, and
that could be very expensive. Okay.
Yeah, so they would be discharged from hospice. The hospital would bill their insurance for the services that they received while they were there. And then once they were discharged back home, then they could sign back up on hospice and resume hospice services.
So then they can keep their health insurance, because health insurance is paying for hospice, right?
Yeah, they never lose the health insurance. Hospice just
okay.
Is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how hospice gets paid, through Medicare and Medicaid. Now, if, and I'll say this thing too, you know, before I forget, a person that gets on hospice can continue to have their same primary care physician. So you had your doctor for the past 20 years because you signed up on hospice. You have to lose your physician. Hospice will work with your physician in putting a plan of care together for the patient.
That's a good thing. I have a question for you, Mr. Coleman. Caller, you on with Mr. Coleman?
How are you tonight, Miss Jenny White? Mr. Coleman?
I'm fine. How are you?
Hello. You know what? I have, I'm a little confused, but I just came in on the subject. When I think of hospice, I think of care for people who are terminally living, and they're going to, you know, be transitioned, you know, any day now, and that's when you go into hospice care. Now, you sound like what you're saying is hospice only takes care of that, but it takes care of the little rehabilitation care, you know, and things of that nature. My understanding for hospice, in other words, give me a definition when you talk about hospice. I know you're describing it, but that's what my limited mind only sees it as a time when they can't help you no more and they're pushing you off to the side, to join your maker.
No, that's fine. And most people, unless they've had an experience with hospice, think, you know, the same way. The people
but
that
thank you for making me feel human.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, that's, you know, the normal person, the average person probably thinks that way. To qualify for hospice, the patient must have a life-limiting illness with a diagnosis of 6 months or less to live. Now, as I was saying, people can live on hospice longer than that, as long as they can chart a decline. The hospice can say, you know, they're continuing to lose weight, their memory is getting worse, their cancer is starting to metastasize, that type of thing. So some of the life-limiting illnesses like cancer, heart disease, stroke, end-stage, Alzheimer's, or any other condition with a life expectancy of 6 months or less. The patient or the family must choose hospice care with the understanding that the focus of care is on pain and symptom management, and the patient's physician must agree that hospice care is appropriate. So there, the doctor has to write an order saying, you know, this person has cancer. Can, you know, you evaluate? And if they're found appropriate, admit them. And so at that point, depending on at what stage they get signed on, the people that, for the most part, get on hospice and die the same day or shortly thereafter, in a lot of instances were hospice appropriate 6 months to a year prior to them getting on. And they were going to make their transition whether they were on hospice or not.
Okay, then. Well,
does that make sense, Lucy?
I can understand, yeah. But, I see now when he's talking about hospice, because I just had a friend to pass, and they said she was on hospice care, and I talked to her one day, and 2 days later she was gone. You know? And so that's what I always equated to. I've had friends who say, well, I'm in hospice care, and in a week or so they're gone, you know, something like that. That has been my experience with hospice. But I know you had a rehabilitative.
No,
a rehabilitative program. Go ahead.
No, what were you saying about rehabilitation?
You sound like, you know, if a person breaks the arm, they don't have to die, you know, for a broke arm. It seems like a nursing home, where they would go, or rehabilitation, where they would, somebody help them with the arm until they're able to get up and go home or something like that. You know, but...
Now, in that instance, where a person is on hospice, falls out of bed, breaks their arm, then they can go to
They go to the hospital for the arm. They're not going to the hospice. They're not going to the hospital for the heart disease that got them on hospice. They're going because they broke their arm. So they would get signed off. They would get signed off of hospice while they're in the hospital, and the hospital would do the surgery, get their arm together, and then at that point they could possibly be sent to rehab. Now, if the family chooses to do rehab, and most people that are on hospice aren't trying to do rehab, but if they do, then they'll be there to rehab until they get back home, and then once they get back home, they can get back on hospice. Hospice isn't going to pay for rehab, and it's not going to pay for the surgery or your broken arm.
Hey, let me ask you this. You talk, it's the family. What about the family feels they should be on hospice care, but that person don't want it? Are they overruled by the family?
Not if they're able to make their own decisions. Now, if they've got Alzheimer's or dementia and they've got a guardian or a power of attorney, then the guardian or power of attorney has the ability to override whatever that person with the Alzheimer's or dementia says. And so, but if a person is still in their right mind, making their own decisions and able to sign their own documents, then if they choose not to get on hospice at that particular time, then nobody can force them to get on.
Okay, I was wondering about that. Okay, well, I do thank you, Mr. Colvin.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for calling.
Yes, always enjoy you. Thank you. You too.
And so, I'll also continue with when a person is choosing a hospice provider, some of the questions they should ask. They should also ask, what type of insurance or payment does the hospice accept? They can also ask, who are their medical directors and how involved are they? They can ask, how do you work with the attending physician if there is one? Sometimes a doctor, you know, make a referral and say, I don't want to follow the patient. And sometimes it's a doctor that doesn't have a relationship with the patient, or maybe the referral came from the hospital. What is your response time after hours and weekends if there's a crisis? That really tells and makes a difference how long it takes for a hospice to respond back to a phone call, whether it's overnight or on the weekends. Because what really makes a good hospice is not what happens between 9 to 5. It's the things that happen during, the most critical times, when you have a blizzard or a snowstorm and somebody's having a crisis. How do you respond? Is somebody going to come out during that storm, or are they going to wait, and say, I live too far, the snow's too deep, it's going to take me 2 hours to get to you just because of the weather, and nobody's available.
That's a good point.
So at that point, you're not going to be real happy with them. Or, we ran out of briefs. Can someone bring some briefs over? And the response is slow. Those type of things. Their on-call service, you really want to. And sometimes you just might want to call to see how long the response is. The response time is for them to return a call and call back. I've done that. I've called our company in the middle of the night just to see how long it would take for someone to call me back, because it's hard for me to promote a service that is dropping the ball. I'm saying one thing, and then, they're not coming through. So
that makes
always
sense. Yeah, that makes sense. But about this snow thing. go ahead. If you have another question, I don't want you to forget it.
Yeah, just a couple more.
Okay, go ahead.
Is there Yeah, you can ask, is there a dedicated triage on-call team? So as I was saying, you know, what happens with, you know, we call at 2 in the morning, you know, who's going to answer the phone and what's going to happen? How often do your nurses and aides visit typically? Where is your inpatient facility if a higher level of care or respite care is needed? There are a couple hospices that actually have buildings that people can stay in and reside in for inpatient care. And the inpatient care is not a long-term care answer. It's normally the people that stay in the inpatient unit staying there for short periods of time.
Okay. All right. So back to the snow. You brought up a good point. Now, you expect your person to come out in the snow, right? I mean, we got like 6, 7, 8 inches. So they got to come out, right?
If there, if there's an emergency and there, it's deemed that a nurse needs to respond, then a nurse has to come out. That's just part of the job. You know, it's not a nurse will come out when the weather's good. A nurse will come out when it's necessary. So, I mean, everybody knows what they signed on for. If it's bad weather, it's just unfortunate. But life happens during bad weather.
That's true.
I think you stirred up another question
from your previous caller, Lucy.
Yes, I just wanted to ask you something. I was told it was a matter of ethics, but like when Hurricane Katrina hit in the New Orleans area and all of that, and the water and stuff, a lot of the people in the care, hospice care, and it's an ethical thing too, because I think my niece had to do a paper on it. But it's my understanding if they can't move you, you know, the dangers that those people were in and hospice care and all that other type, you know, that they can under ethics do a euthanize.
Mm.
Well,
they will be well within the right because they can't move you. You're this, you're that. You know, they can. That's what I heard.
Well,
okay. What was the name of that man that was killing all them people?
Kevorkian.
Right. That's who you need to call, but I think he's gone now.
Can it help you? All this water is out here. You're going to drown. They can't save you. The water's cut, but, you know, they can't move all those people. You know, even if you're like, you know, like in a coma or something like that, they can euthanize you.
But you can't kill people. You can't.
That's
murder.
That's not what it's called, though. That's not the way
to get
it's an ethical thing, you know.
No, mm-mm. That's a moral thing.
You know, it's a quiet thing, but they can, you know.
Okay, Mae.
Your
opinion.
You know.
Well, I don't know of any hospices that have been authorized to kill people, euthanize. So,
no.
Under certain circumstances, they can't save you, you know.
I mean, if you got a nurse,
you have to lay there and drown.
Well, that's not a hospice making that decision. I mean, I don't think the hospice is going to be there swimming around with you and inject you with the virus to kill you while they trying to save themselves. I don't think that's going to happen. Now, you might drown, but I don't think they're going to kill you.
My understanding, quietly, it's supposed to be legal.
No,
I ain't never heard of that.
Okay.
That.
I still love you, but I heard that they under they do have the, you know, whatever.
No,
so
I never heard
let me
that.
Ask. Let me ask you a question. Would you do it? Yes or no?
I'd be out there swimming for myself.
I said yes or no. You didn't answer my question. I'm like, I'm like Judge Judy now. Yes or no?
I don't know. I haven't been faced with that. You know, but it's my understanding. It's a medical acceptance, and it would not be, you know, if they make that decision.
No, you can't make a decision like that.
I
wouldn't do it.
No, that I don't know who would be authorized to make that decision because, okay, we've got a tornado coming. All right, well, let me kill these five people. Oh, the tornado made a left. It didn't hit the building. Now we got to perform CPR on people that got do not resuscitate orders on them. No, I think that's a problem.
I hear it. But it's a matter of medical ethics or something like that.
Right.
No.
Okay, you're about to drown, and the water starts subsiding, and you can inject 10 people. Oh,
right.
No.
Nah. Hey, that's what I heard. Okay.
No, that doesn't make sense. That really doesn't make sense. I wouldn't be a part of that.
I wouldn't want to be a part of it either, but a lot of things that happen, it don't make sense, but it happens, you know. And it's a part of the what we have to deal with, that you know.
Well, I'd have to lose my job because I'm not killing anybody.
Yeah, they don't have that in writing. I mean, CMS
they couldn't have that in writing. That's against the law.
No, CMS isn't going to approve that.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's murder. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's real simple.
What, you trying
I mean,
to get a free pass to kill somebody?
No, I'm just saying that's what I heard. It went on during Hurricane Katrina. They couldn't get those people out of there, all those people.
Yeah, well.
And they're faced with this.
Yeah.
And it's a part, I believe one of my family members had to do a paper on it. And it's under medical ethics. They can,
The power that I believe in wouldn't allow me to do that.
I understand, but, you know, when you think about, you talk about how
there's no
not
but
don't want
to
dampen
that.
Anybody's spirit.
There's no but to
that. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Coleman.
Thank you, Ms.
Yeah, well, you go around and pull a plug on 10 people here. Okay, this is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show.
This is Terry from Texas, and I love listening to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show.
This is Jacqueline Jones Frederick of Jones & Frederick Enterprises, Inc. This incorporation consists of a tutoring business, a tutoring staffing, and a traveling business. We have served the community since 2007. Our clients are third graders to college students. We tutor in all academic subjects. Please call Jacqueline at 586-306-5487.
This is Carla Cook, daughter of the legendary Sam Cook, on tour now with wondrous stories, the life and music of my father, Sam Cook. You can find me at carlacook.com. Remember, that's Cook with an E. And follow my Facebook page at The Carla Cook. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at The Carla Cook. I hope to see you soon on stage in a city near you.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Magnify his name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight, we've been talking about when is the time for hospice. And we've had a phenomenal guest, Mr. Coleman, who knows quite a bit about hospice because he works with hospice. So he has said a lot of things that I didn't know, some I did, but you know, he kind of explained a lot of things, too. So if any of my listeners want a question or make a comment, you can do it now. Other than that, we're going to ask Mr. Coleman to give us what he wants to kind of hold on to. What do you think? You want to leave us with something?
Yes. In the event that you or your loved one ever becomes ill, and no matter what you do, there doesn't seem to be a way that you'll get better. No matter what you try, aggressive treatments, transfusions, those type of things. You just aren't getting any better. Or if a person gets tired of all the poking and prodding and the attempts to help them live a little longer and they just get tired, then hospice is definitely an option. Not only will it have more people and more eyes on the individual, but it also can help save money. If, you know, a person's paying $80, $100 for medicine, hospice can take on all those medications associated with the hospice diagnosis and save the person money on that hand. If there's any DME, durable medical equipment, that's necessary, whether it's a wheelchair, hospital bed, walker, bedside commode, shower chair, hospice, we'll take care of those expenses as well. The caregiver needs a break every once in a while. In some instances, the caregiver dies before the person that they're taking care of just because they've been worn out. There's respite that's available with a skilled nursing facility. The hospice will contract with them, and it'll be paid for through their insurance benefit. So if anyone ever even has any questions in reference to whether hospice is the appropriate decision for them, their loved one, they can feel free to reach out to me. And my number is 313-293-0979. That's 313-293-0979. My name is Maceo Coleman. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions or do any speaking engagements. I do speak to groups as well. So that's pretty much it. Thank you again for inviting me to be your guest tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, well, thank you for coming. I appreciate that at the last minute. But you're very informative. I have, like I said, I've learned quite a bit just sitting here in this little short time. And I do appreciate you once again for being my guest tonight. And I appreciate my listeners. You're welcome. I appreciate my listeners that listened. Hopefully you all, you know, learned something that you did not know. So you'll be more informed if ever you run into a situation like that. So I appreciate you guys for calling in and listening. So thank you again, Mr. Coleman, and my guest. And I'd like to say before I go, life has no remote, so get up and change it yourself. That's what you have to do. So have a good weekend and good night. This has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.